This is Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
Flavor, please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around, no fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to Flavor in Your Ear. It's been a very eventful week. And we have a whole lot to talk about. It's National French Fry Day. So everybody get out there and get your French fries. I don't need to be a national day to get French fries. But I'm going to go get me some crinkle cut French fries somewhere out there to celebrate this wonderful day. Now, a lot of interesting things happened this week. We're going to start off a little bit with sports. LeSean McCoy, for those of you that don't know him, running back for the Buffalo Bills. You know, at the point right now, a borderline Hall of Fame type football player with his statistics basically came out. The girlfriend of his girlfriend came out and posted a very heinous picture of his former girlfriend, battered, torn, kicked in the gutter. Just really a terrible picture of somebody who looks like really they were in a car accident. But allegedly, that was what LeSean McCoy did to this young lady's face. When everybody first saw it, when it first came out, like I literally went to Instagram and defended him. Like literally, I was like, Jesus, like this is bad. So I went and I defended him. And I also looked at the amount of friends that he had on Instagram and Twitter. And I was thinking, boy, this number is going to be in half within a week from all these allegations. And I looked at the next day and he had 100 more followers. So it's not something that's hurting him socially, but this is something that could end his career and really end his life. Not literally, but if this is tagged on you, you're in big trouble because, you know, he's being accused of beating his child. I guess beating your child and spanking your child can be the same thing to two different people. So you have to really watch out when you're dealing with kids. You know, suppose he spanked his kid or beat his kid for peeing his bed. I like to stay out of that. I don't know anything about that. You're allowed to spank your kid, okay? I think you can. Some people think you can't. He also said he beat his dog until his dog had kidney failure. You know, some people are coming out, you know, the dog people. And sometimes when you beat a dog, that's the worst thing you could possibly do. So they're coming out of woodwork and they're crucifying LeSean. But the really disgusting one was a picture of his former girlfriend who, well, I'm telling you, you need to go and check the picture if you haven't seen it yet, is beat up pretty damn bad, okay? Now, this was a while ago. It wasn't just yesterday. It wasn't a week ago. It was quite a while ago. And LeSean McCoy came out basically after all his allegations and said, for the record, the totally baseless and offensive claim made against me today on social media are completely false. Furthermore, I had not had any direct contact with any of these people involved in months. So if it's months ago, doesn't make it better, doesn't make it okay, doesn't make him innocent. It just makes you wonder if he was abusing his kid, abusing his dog, abusing her, why didn't she come out? Now, there's a lot of different reasons why women don't come out. I understand that. And he was basically crucified in day one. And then day two came out. And then there's a little bit more details came out. Supposedly, this girl has been squatting in his house and he couldn't get her out of the house. And I don't know the situation there. I wasn't there. But now all of a sudden, there's the story changes a little bit. You know, somebody squatting in my house doesn't give me the reason to put my hands on her, that's for sure. But if somebody's squatting in my house, it sure makes them devious. And it sure makes them somebody who would go around the way to screw you out of your money and your situation. So I'm not saying he didn't do it, but there's got to be a lot of investigations before that one comes out. Because we're talking about child abuse, animal abuse, domestic abuse, drug use, we're talking about steroids. If this is true, his days in the NFL are absolutely done. Roger Goodell with steroids, with abuse, with domestic abuse, and there's zero tolerance for it right now. So If LeSean McCoy did that to that lady, then he needs to go away. And he will. If he didn't do it, she needs to go away. And I really think there's not enough laws enacted to really go after somebody who falsely accuses, especially an athlete. You know, when you falsely accuse somebody on the street, you know, that's not that big of a deal. When you falsely accuse an athlete, it's treated differently. I mean, way, way differently. So we're going to look and see how this whole LeSean McCoy thing kind of unfolds, because the timing is not good. It's not, timing's never good for something like that. Now, last week, there was a big UFC fight, Miocic against Cormier. I talked about it a little bit. I like UFC. I'm not the kind of person to pay for a fight. I'll usually watch it afterwards, but I love to watch it. I saw some of Cormier's old fights, and I said Cormier had a chance against Miocic. Everybody thought this guy was the baddest man on earth, but Cormier's kind of a sly type cat. I wasn't predicting his win, but he ended up beating Miocic to kind of shake everything up a little bit. He went up in weight. And I mean, I didn't watch the fight. You know, we had Brad here email me. If you want to email me, IanBeckles@radioinfluence.com, if you have any questions. And he said in three rounds, there was like 25 total hits. And he was really questioning whether it was scripted or not. And I'm hoping that UFC is not ever going to be scripted, I hope. But watching the highlights with Brock Lesnar, who is, I don't know his dimensions, but he's got to be close to 6'6", 370. When he comes up into the ring and they have a little pushing match, that looked bad. And like, I mean, that looked really, really WWE bad. And I think Dana White tried to separate himself from all that crap because it looked bad. One thing about Dana White, I think Dana White's very protective of his product. He wants his product to be authentic, and I think he's done a wonderful job with his product, but he doesn't want WWE anywhere near his product, and it was entirely too close that day. Now, they'll probably end up fighting, and that, you know, that's not a big deal either way. They'll end up fighting, they'll end up making their money, but they set everything back by doing that little pushing match thing, because I wasn't feeling that. I don't think anybody was feeling that, really, to be honest with you. Now, here in the Bay Area, you know, we've been hearing about a stadium for a long time, and I think it's to the point now where I don't know if we're arguing against ourselves. I'm not sure who we're fighting against, but it just seems like we're just talking in circles. I guess they came up with a rendering of the stadium. I didn't go look at it. I don't give a rat's ass what the rendering looks like. I really don't. I just hate talking about something that I just don't think is going to happen. I don't think there's going to be ever a stadium tap. I really don't. I certainly don't think we deserve one. You know, for everybody thinks we deserve one, you're one of a couple thousand people that go to the games regularly. There's not more than that. So we're going to cry boo-hoo when our baseball team is gone. Yet when our baseball team's here, we didn't want to do what it takes to keep our baseball team here. All right? So I didn't bother going looking at the rendering. I saw an interview with Stu Sternberg, who I've seen Stu Sternberg, I think, four times maybe, and I'm in sports. He just not very present, okay? Allegedly, the stadium's going to cost $892 million. Let's say $1 billion, okay? $892 million and $1 billion are pretty much the same numbers. And I saw an interview with Stu Sternberg, and like I said, I just don't see him too often. And here are the questions that he was given. Can you afford the stadium? And he kind of said, well, potentially. That means no. You know, he's come out and said afterwards, oh, we might put in 150. You're going to put in 150 million on a billion? And suppose he's going to have umpteen years to pay off that money. So it's all going to make sense for Stu Sternberg, okay? Like the Buccaneers, when the Buccaneers bought the team, I want to say they bought it for 80-something million or something in there, and they borrowed 40-something million. I mean, that's the best. I mean, money-wise, when you're making that many much money a year, it doesn't matter what you have to pay back for your loan. It doesn't. You're making four or five times that every single year. So don't worry about Stu Sternberg, all right? Stu Sternberg is going to be fine. So the question was, can you afford the stadium? And his answer was, well, potentially. And the other question was, what do you need from the public sector? Which I believe is a very important question. And his answer was, I haven't looked into that yet. Now, that's a crock of shit. You're going to build a billion-dollar facility and you haven't looked into how the public sector can help? They've looked at every single angle known to man. That's for sure. So I don't trust anybody anymore. Professional teams dupe their cities all the time. They don't really give a rat's ass. Once the stadium's built, he's not going to really care as much how many people are going there because they're going to make their money through, you know, royalties and, you know, all kind of taxes. I mean, listen, they make their money. Trust me. Luxury taxes. They make lots of money. The Rays don't need anybody in their stadium, and they're making lots and lots of money. So whether our team's going to be here in 10 years, I don't know. I'm originally from Montreal, and I lost a team there, and I just wouldn't be shocked if I went around and lost a team again. I wouldn't be shocked because, like I said before, I'm not sure we deserve this team. Now, other crazy things that happened this week. The wonderful Stormy Daniels was in Ohio. And Stormy Daniels is the lovely young lady who is suing the president for all kind of crazy stuff. She's a stripper anyways. And she was arrested in Ohio for indecent acts. Now, that's like arresting Willie Nelson for smoking weed. Let him do it. Like, she's a stripper. Who else does illegal acts? I mean, indecent acts. That's what strippers do. So she's in Ohio, and the law is you cannot touch a patron. They had an undercover cop there, and allegedly they had other dancers go up first. So they had two other dancers go up and do their whole thing, touch people the whole nine yards. Then they let Stormy Daniels go up there, and when she did it, they arrested her and the other two. So it's not really about the act. It's more about what you're trying to get accomplished, which was to arrest Stormy Daniels. If anybody thinks there's not some kind of political agenda over this, you're crazy. And I'd hate to get into those kind of politics, but who wants to arrest a stripper for indecent, you know, acts? That's just, she's going to go into jail for 5 minutes and then her lawyer's going to get her out. And you know what else is going to happen? She's going to gain popularity. You know what else is going to happen? They're going to sue the shit out of everybody. They're going to sue the club. They're going to sue the city. They're going to sue the police force. Believe that. And they're going to end up winning. And what did everybody accomplish by, you know, arresting a stripper for a few minutes? It didn't accomplish anything. So keep your eye on that whole thing. To me, it looked just like the scene in Straight Outta Compton when NWA came off the stage and they were like, if you say those words, if you say F the police, we're coming up. And they went up there and they said, F the police. That was it. It was kind of the same thing. So we'll keep our eyes on Stormy Daniels. She's making sure that we can't take our eyes off her, that's for sure. Now, I saw George Clooney, who is married now and chill. He's rolling around on a scooter, which I don't suggest anybody does. And he had a massive wreck on his scooter. It just runs right into the front of some dude's car and flips over and lands on his head. And I'm surprised he didn't get seriously, seriously hurt. But he bounced up from that, and I guess he was on a plane a day later, and he headed home. So we don't want bad things to happen to George Clooney now that he's married, because we will think that marriage will be a jinx, and we don't want to believe that, do we? Now this is irony right here. The owner from Papa John's, or you know, the CEO from Papa John's. I don't know his name. That douchebag that used to hug up on Peyton Manning all the time with the dark hair. You remember last year how he was up in arms that the NFL players kneeling are affecting his bottom line, and that the NFL players kneeling, those black SOBs kneeling are hurting our money. We're not messing with those guys anymore. And they actually pulled out their endorsement with the NFL. That was a big deal. And everybody was on Papa John's side. He's this, he's that, he's American, blah, blah, blah. So I guess he had a conference call with a bunch of the mucky mucks at Papa John's and some other people from PR companies. And it was kind of a sensitivity type of a phone call. And during the sensitivity pull call, he thought that it was okay to bust out the N-word. And nobody else agreed with it. And pretty much the PR company said, I don't want to deal with you anymore. And the rest of Papa John's was like, eesh. Let's separate ourselves. So literally, he had to step away. And then the next day, Major League Baseball suspends their relationship with Papa John's. So good for you, Papa John's. You kicked the NFL to the curb. You went to baseball, and now baseball is kicking you to the curb. And you know who's going to get screwed out of this whole thing? All the little people that open up Papa John's and the people that are working, they're going to be the ones that get screwed out of all this. You know, the rich SOBs at the top, you know, they don't really get messed with too much. But all the little people coming down, those are the people that get screwed in all these situations. And it's really sad. But our world is getting crazy with race relations in general. There was an Illinois officer that resigned because basically he didn't interfere with this racist pig that was attacking this lovely lady with a Puerto Rico shirt on. She had a shirt on that said Puerto Rico, and he's talking about go back to your country. If that comes out of your mouth ever, screw you, all right? Because everybody that I look at every day, their origin is from another country. It really is, okay? Everybody came to this country. When you talk about go back to another country, look in the mirror and say go back to another country. This lady was an American citizen, and it's not the first thing this time this has happened. And they got an Illinois officer letting this drunk a-hole pretty much harass this lady with a Puerto Rico shirt. And she's talking about, I'm very uncomfortable, could you please stop? And this guy keeps on going at her, and the Illinois officer's sitting there watching it. You know, we have, you know, the woman that went to the barbecue that didn't like the black people at the barbecue. We have Permit Patty. We got so many people now that are confronting minorities. And thank God for cell phone cameras and video cameras, or else we wouldn't see all of this, okay? So there's just too much crazy stuff happening in our world. Seriously, up, down, and around. And I've got my eye on it, and none of it's good. Now, the biggest story had to have been those poor boys in Thailand, you know, in that cave. Now, if you got a chance to watch, and by the way, they all got out, which is awesome. They all made it out alive. I guess they're all in quarantine right now because they may have some kind of virus and stuff that they caught in the cave. But they all made it out. They're all happy, I guess. Their parents are happy to have them out. They were showing videos of the rescue, and you know, I'm sure there's going to be some kind of movie come out eventually. But that wasn't no joke. That was no joke with the pulleys and messing around with the caves. And I guess they had to sedate the kids on the way out. There were some heroes in that one, that's for sure. So I don't know what we can possibly learn from those kids being in that cave over there. But those kids that come out, I mean, they're going to have an unbelievable bond going forward to spend, I think it was 18 days in that cave. Had to have been a tough situation, period, without light, without food, without heat. That coach deserves some kind of a medal, even though he was one of the reasons why they're in there. It seems like the parents weren't blaming him, which is good. And, you know, it ended up okay. Now, Japan in general, you know, we're talking about Thailand, and we're talking about a few kids in a cave, and there's flooding in Japan, and there's over 100 people have died there, and we're really just dealing with one cave. But hopefully that never happens again over there in Thailand. I guess one of the kids in there spoke 5 languages, and I guess he was the big hero, doing some translating to some of the different rescuers and stuff. So, you know, not something you want to see, but, you know, turned out all right. Turned out all right, and one of those things that you're never going to forget. It's one of those things later on in life you're going to think about. You remember those kids in the cave, and it seemed like it went on for a long, long time because, you know, the clock was ticking as we go forward, and those kids were trapped in that cave. So it's good chance. I'm happy they all got out alive, that's for sure. Now, there's always crazy things happening in our government. I always like to end up with a little politics, which always almost say lightens it up, but it really heavies it up, to be honest with you. I guess Donald Trump hired Brett Kavanaugh as Supreme Court Justice. Conspiracists are going to say they hired him because he supports no investigations of presidents. So that makes a lot of sense, because last thing Donald wants right now is any type of investigation. I was watching a press conference this morning, And Donald was up there about as rude as can be, rude to everybody. And, you know, this is the president of the United States. And this is, I'm going to make this comparison because we look at people different ways. For all the people who crucify athletes and who don't like to make interviews and they don't like to speak to the press. I think Marshawn Lynch is somebody that comes to mind. He doesn't like to speak to the press. I don't know why you'd make somebody do it, although it's a rule. He has to sit down there. Our president stood up in front of the world, and somebody put their hand up, and he said, I don't take questions from fake news. CNN is fake news. You guys always talk about the witch hunt. It's a witch hunt. It's the longest witch hunt I've ever seen, but he thinks it's a witch hunt. Shouldn't the president answer questions from everybody? You think that's asking too much for the president to ask answers from both sides? I don't think it is. I think that should be essential, period. And it just the feel of everybody right now and the feel that everybody's comfortable doing and saying whatever they want, I think is coming from up top. I just think that the president does do and say whatever the hell he wants to say. And I think it's rubbing off on America. I really do. And for somebody to be coming in people's face and talk about, you don't have no right here and go leave your country, that's coming from up top, man. And that's a bad feel, really bad. And you like to believe that our leaders are good people and they're teaching our people good things. And then you hear about Donald Trump's driver of 25 years is suing him because of past overtime pay. Supposedly he got two raises in the last 15 years. And when he was given a raise, he was cut health benefits. Ah, boy. I mean, that's what's running our country. You don't have to be an asshole just because you're a billionaire. I've run into Eddie DeBartolo. I've run into Jeffrey Vinnick. I've run into George Steinbrenner when he was alive. They were wonderful people. You don't have to be an asshole. Everybody loves to work for Jeffrey Vinnick. Everybody loves to work for Eddie DeBartolo. I've never heard anybody say they love to work for Donald Trump, not one time. You can be an honorable person and have a lot of money and still be a stand-up type guy. I just don't think that's really what our president's really setting out to do. And there's still people think he's doing a wonderful job, I guess, but he's doing it like an asshole. And it's making our country look pretty damn bad. Anyways, if you guys have any questions, Ian Beckles at radioinfluence.com. I have a couple other podcasts, one in the trenches, another one. I have a cannabis podcast as well, which is very informative and powered by Trueleaf. So you want to check that out as well. I appreciate you guys listening every week. And it's always fun to talk to you guys. Please have a wonderful week and please be safe. Peace out.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter at Ian Beckles and check out DignitaryRadio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put the flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here. It's in that flavor. Bringing that flavor.
This is a Crush Performance Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Everybody should be prepared to move to the next level when it's time. Therein lies one of the biggest problems in our developmental model. We want to rush to the finish line, and I'm telling you right now, there are no shortcuts at all. So in the world of sport, to invest in the development and education of coaches at every level of development might be the best money you'll ever spend. We're going to have more success. We're going to have kids who enjoy the sport. We're going to have coaches who are competent, who can develop athletes and players that they can now hand off to the next level of development for those coaches to further develop. And that's the true essence of a developmental model. In business, the great companies really invest in the education and skill set of their managers, the managers who are working with the people. Their job is to help every single employee maximize their performance. And it's a tall order. but it's absolutely critical to organizational success. In the academic world, well, the best teachers, do they get the best results out of their students? You better believe it. There's no doubt about it. We have all had those terrible teachers that we just can't learn from. Here's the thing you got to keep in mind. Whether you thought that teacher was terrible, does that necessarily mean that every student in that class thought that teacher was terrible? Or did that teacher not just connect to you? Now, there becomes the art of coaching, leading, and teaching.
Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crichel, can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.